May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 285. Oh, for a heart to seek my God, encouraged by his gracious word, to view my Saviour all complete, and lie submissive at his feet. Hymn 285.
Thank you. turn with me to the Word of God in the Psalms. We will read Psalms 61 and 62. The 61st and 62nd Psalms. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man according to his work. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that portion of his holy word, and now help us, pulpit and pew, to pray. Let us pray. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. We venture in the knowledge of our need and the necessity for our spiritual as well as temporal welfare, that thou wilt condescend to be one in our midst this day. Look upon us, we pray in mercy, and bless us with the liberty of thy Holy Spirit, that we may be able comfortably and easily to attend to the things which we read from thy holy word, and those things that are spoken in thy name, and even, Lord, in the singing of thy praises. Oh, that it may be under the influence of thy grace, with the heart and with the understanding also. So make this day to us, could it please thee, O Lord, the Sabbath day, a day of rest and peace in believing. Thou knowest those hungry souls that have come up to the house of God, pleading with thee. A crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave, unworthy to be fed with dainties such as angels have, or with the children's bread. Lord, spread the gospel table, and grant, we pray, a blessing for every hungry soul. Every one, Lord, is quickened by thy Holy Spirit, that can look around the world and the things of it and say vanity and vexation of spirit, but oh, to look upon the things of God and truth, the precious things concerning the salvation of sinners, to be able to see by the eye of faith the love of God the Father in sending the light into the world of salvation by Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And we would be thankful, Lord, to thee for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the benefits, oh, incalculable benefits that he has brought into this world under the sentence of death through sin, is quickened, and Lord, the crowning blessing of life surely is that eternal life that comes through him to precious needy sinners and those souls made alive to their need and condition before a holy God. Lord, can we not say, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow, and clothe us in that precious, meritorious righteousness of the Son of God. Lord, we have nothing sufficient to hide us from the just judgments of heaven, short of the merit, the blood, the righteousness of Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, that we may have that assurance wrought in our hearts that God truly is with us, that he has given us the new life, the quickening of the Holy Spirit of God, and that, Lord, we're not just alive to the temporal things of this world in a natural way, but we're alive by the quickening power of the Holy Ghost, who has raised us above the dying things of time to the reality of eternal realities, the things which concern our future, each and every one of us, after we close our eyes upon this present scene, this present world. Lord, we pray, lift our horizons from the limited pleasures and satisfactions of time, and may our anointed eyes behold the wonder of God taking of sinners and choosing a people for himself. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. And Lord, we do pray, as we pray, that we may not be ignorant of the influence of God upon our spirits, raising us up to real heartfelt praise and thanksgiving for the truth. O Lord, we would bless thee for salvation. We would bless thee that thou hast provided the only remedy to our sinful malady. Lord, there's power in that precious blood to cleanse us from all our sins. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. Look upon the people gathered before thee in thy kind providence this morning. Oh, what a mercy to be here with a hunger, a living desire for living food. And Lord, surely there's only one source, there's only one true giver. Our eyes are up unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Lord, meet cases. Touch mountains that they may smoke, or they may fall down or flow down at thy presence. Lord, work miracles for us and among us, that we may be able to say in the face of all in the world that stands in question of the reality of deity, that we know the living God is our God, and that he will be our guide even unto death. We ask thy blessing in the temporal things of this present life. Thy people are a people subject to all manner of difficulties, trials, temptations, fears, oppositions from within, as well as oppositions from without. Lord, thou reignest to save, and save to the uttermost all that come unto God by thee. Hear us as we would pray one for the other, that thy blessing may be ours, and that thou wilt bless us with eternal realities, and we may be able, could it be thy will, to do as was done in ancient time, and he went on his way rejoicing. Lord, we're before thee this morning, heavily burdened by a condition prevailing in our time-honored nation relative to the visit of the man of sin. We do pray, Lord, that if it can please thee, thou wilt overrule this dispensation, that many that are in darkness may be brought to see the light. Many that are carried away with deception by the evil influence of Satan through those various channels of deception that he has conceived and promotes by various means among the sons of men. O Lord, have mercy upon our country. We do bless thee, historically reflecting, that there was such light shed abroad in our land as to promote ultimately the Reformation, when truth, pure scriptural truth seem to captivate the hearts and minds of multitudes, and there was a turning away from that which is destructive to that which has saving power, not only for time, but also for eternity. O Lord, help us, we pray, and deliver us, and cause by that wonderful, wonderful sufficiency of thy power to overcome evil with good. Bring forth certain things, Lord, in this trial that is upon thy people, that thou wilt bring to the light some that are yet in darkness, some that are following the path of so-called religion in the broad way, looking to their own works, trusting in their own commitments of a religious nature. Oh, what a mercy, Lord, to see the truth as declared by thy servant Paul, that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, make us each one, could it please thee, humble enough to see nothing, whatever classification of virtue may exist in the hearts of mankind by nature. Oh, Lord, we pray, strip us of every false way and lead us in that narrow way that leadeth unto life eternal. We ask thee to have mercy upon those that rule over us. O Lord, we tremble when we see those delegated by thy will and purpose to hold office, bowing and scraping to the man of sin. Lord, we tremble lest they should use their influences to bring again our nation into darkness and bondage, an association which inevitably will promote thy displeasure and bring thy judgments upon us. Lord, we look to thee. Thou art a God that aboundeth in mercy, and we do ask that the people of God in our nation, whoever they are, wherever they are, and whatever they are in a denominational title, that, Lord, thy people may be drawn by thy Spirit to intercede with thee, that this terrible dark cloud that overhangs us and seems to deceive multitudes may yet be turned into profit. Profit for the nation. Profit for those, Lord, that rule over us, and profit for the common people of the land, that there can be a second reformation, a second time of the Lord arising with healing in his wings to answer the cries of his people even from the ends of the earth, that we may rejoice yet again that the Lord our God, omnipotent, reigneth. So we ask, Lord, in humble petitions. We feel so unworthy when we think of what thou hast brought us through, the last terrible, dark conflict of the Second World War. Some of us, few of us here today, can remember the dark clouds that overhung us, and we feared we would be brought into captivity to the Nazi regime. But Lord, thou didst arise. Thou didst hear the prayers of thy people. We believe king and country were moved to call upon thee in our day of extremity. And Lord, it was our God that gave us the victory. It was our God that overruled among the nations of the earth and caused strength are to be put into our arm and to our right hand, and interceding in answer to our prayers, Lord, thou didst grant to us the victory. And we have so benefited by the result of that deliverance. Lord, we look to thee yet again for deliverance from all those things that would subjugate the multitudes of our nation and bring days of darkness and distress to our people. Lord, we pray, have mercy upon us. Now we turn to the Church of God, the people to which we have a precious relationship in the desire of our hearts, that those that are gathered together in the various little sanctuaries up and down our country may know, Lord, a bright light in a dark place, a bow in the cloud, for much heaviness hangs upon us as we look around us. But Lord, help us ever to remember the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. Look upon this place of worship. Everyone that's within its walls at this time, we would pray for. Lord, life is short, eternity forever. Give us a right understanding of the comparative need in that situation. Prepare us, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. We would be humbled to be where we are and as we are, in thy rich mercy. And Lord, we look to thee for grace sufficient, both to speak and to hear. And may thy Holy Spirit cause the truth to run as oil into wounded souls. Lord, we pray, use, sanctify and bless the means to the glory of thy name and the good of thy waiting people. Pardon all that we ask amiss, as we would ask these petitions in the name and for the sake of that one Saviour of the lost, the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 980. When sins and fears prevailing rise, and fainting hope almost expires, Jesus, to thee I lift my eyes, to thee I breathe my soul's desires. Hymn 980.
the Lord that has been laid upon my mind to speak from this morning. As the Lord may help me, I will ask your attention to the 11th verse in the 62nd Psalm. Psalm 62 and verse 11. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. The world is a living declaration of the power of the Almighty. We ourselves are wonders of His creative wisdom and power to bring us forth with the abilities, sufficiencies to meet so many of the challenges of life with the eyes that He's given to us to see, the ears that He's given to us to hear. And we can go on describing or enumerating the various faculties that associate with our mortal frame. What a wonder is the very tabernacle that God has provided for us in this pilgrimage through this present life. And my friends, how small were we in the beginning when it pleased God to form us in our mother's womb and the length of time to bring us forth in what I was going to classify the meanness and weakness of humanity. And sad to say that it was not but a brief while when we were made conscious of our natural needs. And one of the first things we expect when we're born into the world is to cry. And surely those early cries of babyhood are an expression of need. And God, in various ways and according to His power, brought supplies to us for varying needs. Needs that were incomprehensible to us at that time, but cast us, as it were, into the arms of those that were our mothers or our carers and brought us those things that were suitable for us and furthered our growth and the development of life in a physical and mental way. My friends, every person living is a monument of divine power. God created us. God preserved us, maintained us, and caused us to pass through the various ages of life in the early years of our pilgrimage. We were so ignorant that we needed parental guidance, parental counsel, and the Lord gave us a place in the affections and fervent, willing desires of those who loved us, to warn us and instruct us and to feed us and clothe us and give us, as it were, that counsel, especially spiritually. Some of us can look back and say, I never remember the time when my parents didn't pray for me. And I never remember the time when my parents, in their wisdom, took me as a child, to sit under the truth. I didn't really understand what that we were doing, what we were singing, what was read to us, what was preached before us. And I certainly didn't qualify the believing souls that were in the house of God with us of possessing an advantage which was of great, great value. But my friends, there was a kind of building up, wasn't there, as we went through our earlier years, and an opening of our understanding naturally to the necessities and demands of life here below, in that measure which God saw in the beginning that we should stand in need of. And he made ways and moved hearts, that we were educated, we were wisely counseled, and we were brought to a knowledge of that which was good and that which was evil, that which was profitable and that which was harmful. And so under the power of God, the good shepherd of his people, we were instructed and shown that there's one way that's the good way and the right way and the promising way for the future. That is to know God, whom to know is life eternal. Our young people here, and I bless God for your presence in the house of God this morning, and I pray God will give you an appetite and an understanding. When you come into his courts, you'll come to be fed with spiritual food, and you will find a growth in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as the servant sent of God to serve you in the gospel, will break unto you the bread of life and set before you those things that are not just profitable and helpful in your temporal life here below, but also in the hour when the world and the things of it are of no more value to us, and we're called upon to close our eyes and shut out, as it were, the things of the world forever from our vision, then what a mercy to open our eyes in eternity through Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners, who came as a brother born for adversity, a man, the God-man, came into this world and passed, as it were, through the stages of growth. Mind you, he had a knowledge in his Godhead that exceeded all the inferior knowledge of those of us that are mere men and women and children. Oh, he was very God and very man in that beautiful relationship so essential to the fulfillment of God's love and grace, that he laid help upon one that is mighty, one chosen out of the people, Mary, the mother of Jesus, the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Ghost, that pure, pure child who came in all the purity of God's righteousness to live through the appointed pilgrimage of this wilderness way. Yes, I said a brother born for adversity. He knows what troubles are. He knows what temptations are. He knows what adversity, persecution, and rejection of the world really means. We can't come into a situation of which he is ignorant. But my friends, he perfected a work of salvation that those who come by faith to trust their salvation in his name and in that pure work, that spotless righteousness that he wove out for his people. He was made sin for us that knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in Him. He went in due time, the time of ascension, to the right hand of His Father. And while we're here together this morning, surely our eyes are up unto Him to intercede, that His good Spirit will be sent to us and among us, and this service and the services of the sanctuary will be made a blessing to precious souls as they are and where they are in the pilgrimage through this present time state. Well now, God has spoken once. He's spoken once. And the world around us, you know, the people of God see in the world what those that are dead in trespasses and sins never see. And they're so blind in their understanding of God and His works and ways that they very verily and blasphemously deny His very existence and His very presence. But you know, those of us whose eyes God has mercifully and graciously opened to the truth, we see God in so much, not only in our own physical frame, but in the things of nature, that everything that moves, God gives it strength and power to fulfill its mission according to His purposes. Yes, everything that moves has life given to it by the overruling and overriding means of God. Yes, we see in nature so many ways of the replacement of creatures, do we not? Animals brought forth, shall I say, as minors, carrying the very nature, the likes and dislikes of their parenthood. And they come forth and they have the faculties, God developing them in His own time and in His own way. They take the place of their parents as their parents come to the end of God's purpose through them in life. One generation follows another, and it's all under the power and purpose, creative ability and divine wisdom of our God. You know, when I look sometimes at the press and I see that some great educationist has sought to undermine the simple faith that God has given to me, I trust, in that measure that I can see God in a lot of things that are around about me. I feel sad and sorry. Oh, what a mean knowledge is natural knowledge. However high, however much admired by fellows, however progressive, as it were, in the progress of position and power in this life, I say how mean and how valueless it will be when these boasters before men are called to face the living God, the God that they've said never exists, reigns to send them to their deserved place of torment because God made them for His glory, and the whole burden of their existence seems to be contrary to that divine purpose which is common in the human race. Well, now I could go on with this theme. God has spoken once in the world. And my friends, have you got a mind to understand it? Have you got a mind to appreciate it? Can you look at the wonders of creation, the little creatures that exist and fulfill their position and place imperceptibly by man, but all necessary for the Creator, that his purposes shall be fulfilled. God speaking. God hath spoken once. Yes, in the beginning, God. And so the world continues. All the purposes of God, furnished with the necessary creatures and necessary things, that not any thought of God's toward this world ever falters or fails. He doeth as he will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? What a mercy to believe in God. Now stop and ask the question, do you believe? And when you hear the boasting ignorance of those that question that there ever is a God, and that the things that are upon the face of the earth were, as it were, independent of his power and his purpose in bringing them as they are and where they are, to do what they are decreed to do. Oh, my friends, does your heart tremble and you ask God, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things, the wondrous things that are told of in thy word about what thou hast done from the beginning and what thou art doing still until thy purpose in creation is completed as far as this present world is concerned. The Lord will return and this world will cease to exist in any future. Well now, God has spoken once. Yes, my friends, he's speaking. And we're coming to the season of the year. I remarked on it as we drove here this morning. Leaves are falling. They're changing colour. And they're falling. There's a time. There was a springtime, wasn't there? We can't say we've had a wonderful summer, but we've had sufficient for the purpose of God to be accomplished. The trees have borne their leaves and they've borne their fruits. They've done that which God decreed each in his kind should accomplish. And now we're coming toward the end of the year. The winter time is coming along life's road. And we see that things are being fulfilled. They were accomplished last year. The deciduous trees shed their leaves last year. The year before, generations back, witnessed the same procedure, all controlled. Seed died, time and harvest, summer and winter shall not fail, says God. And they don't fail. I was a soldier years ago. I was a surveyor in the Royal Artillery. And in the proceedings of surveying, we had to take angles with theodolites to the sun and to the moon and the stars. And we had certain settings to put on our instruments, calculated and given to us in the nautical almanac. And wherever we were, we could take several shots to the heavenly bodies, the sun in the daytime or the moon or stars at night. And they were all calculated. And when we put our instrument on the given setting, it always settled perfectly where it was expected, anticipated to settle by those that have the knowledge of God's wonder in ordering his creation in the heavens above, as well as in the earth beneath. And I was particularly interested in that sphere So sometimes in the night time, when I was in a position so to do, I used to take a theodolite out into the night, and I would check that certain planets and certain the moon particularly was exactly in the place that was decreed for it by God. He rules in the heavens. Every star, every planet is all ordered. It's all decreed to be where it is and where it will be while God permits it. You say, well, there seems to be a lot of movement. Yes, there seems a lot of movement because God's got a pattern in the heavens to fulfill, as well as a pattern here upon the face of the earth. Nothing moves without His knowledge. Nothing moves without His decree. He rules and overrules. One of the things that was very, very useful to us when I was in that occupation for a few years was the rising and the setting of the sun. You could take angles, measure angles from one thing to another and in God's creation, and you could find that everything was in the exact position that it was ordered to be in. Oh, God is in control of every thing in the heavens as well as the earth and in the seas. Look, there's so much goes on in the seas, but the seas are subject to His power. He rules. Jesus Christ demonstrated His authority over the wind and waves when He was here in the flesh. Peace be still, to a stormy sea. And there was a great calm. And the disciples wondered. They knew that there was a power above their own existing, because they had no control with all their prowess. Many of them fishermen, they had no power to control, but this Jesus that was in the boat with them, all power in heaven and in earth was committed to Him, and He ruled and reigned and brought peace where distress abounds. Well, I could go on this theme. God has spoken once, and my friends, it's temptation, unbelief, these cursed oppositions that would, as it were, prohibit any soul from seeing what God has given to declare His wisdom, His power, His all-sufficiency, His absolute control. When I say to you regarding the creation, I would say this, remember, it is in Him we live and move and have our being. It's a sad thing when we can go into a home, to a well-spread table, and there's no inclination at all to acknowledge that the things before us, to strengthen us and help us, are not given by human means only. God is in perfect control. He feeds us. He clothes us. It is by His power that we're maintained in this present life. I'm going to add one more consideration, because you know, we preachers, we are guided to speak of things that we've handled, tasted and felt. And I tried to speak to you a little, just a few thoughts, as it were, about the great book of God that opens us up before us in profitable meditation when we see God. You can see him in a blade of grass. You can see him in the small creatures of earth. You can see him in the great mountains. You can see him in the tremendous seas, especially when the waves are rushing in and dying upon the seashore. It's all God's control. He lives, he rules, he reigns. But sometimes to value a thing, it pleases God to remove it from us. God gives us certain abilities in the beginning, and we grow normally and they develop and they're very, very useful. But sometimes the thought of who is at the beginning and the procedure associated with our development is God. We take things for granted and we're pleased at the result when we may have some natural advantage over the advantage of others. But my friends, it's all God's mercy to us. We are as we are by God's overruling and his merciful kindness toward us. But sometimes we have to lose something to really realize its value. And it's a sad reflection upon our ignorance and our determination, as it were, to choose to see the things we want to see and pursue the paths that we want to without any real thought of God. It's wonderful if we've got a hunger and desire to see more and more of God as he reveals himself, as he makes himself known among the children of men. God has spoken once. What a mercy it is to acknowledge him in all our ways. And the scripture exhortation is that we should acknowledge him in all our ways. Oh, what a mercy to be able to thank God from our heart for the food that he gives us, the measure of health that we enjoy. Numerous people are not able to do what we're doing here this morning, are not physically sufficient or mentally equipped to take a journey and come to the house of God to hear what God has to say to us through his ordinance of gospel ministry. But my friends, we have been able. Did you thank God when you came into the house of God? Not only for the facility and comfort of the chapel, but also that you have a desire to be where God's honour dwelleth, in the courts of the Lord with the people of God on the Sabbath day. You know, multitudes are feeding the fires of God's just indignation as they refuse to give one day in seven to the worship and fear of the Lord. The Sabbath day is a day that's spent largely on the desire to satisfy the flesh without any consideration at all that they have a soul within them that must live forever. Oh, but who hath made thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou hast not received? God is at the root of it. God is at the root of it. May God be thanked with all sincerity and deep humility, for we do not deserve, by reason of our sins, the abundant mercy and the grace of God if blessed with His grace, to realize this is the wise gift of God to His people, that they should gather together in public worship. Forsake not, therefore, the assembling of yourselves together, for the manner that the manner of some is. Well now, I think I've said enough to illustrate my point. My friends, God reigns. God controls. God brings. And God terminates. Everything is according to a pattern in the heart and mind of God, and it comes and it goes as He will. What a mercy to be the true living subject of the living God, and to be able to say from our hearts, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. And what is that day? It's the last day when we shall be called upon to step from time into eternity, to close our eyes upon all of this world and to open them in paradise in the presence of God forever. Well now, God has spoken once, but He's spoken twice. He's spoken in His Word of the great need of mankind. And He's very clearly spoken that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good, not one. If I stood in this pulpit and said that in the flesh, that is, as you were born of your parents, and remember that our parents were sinners before us, and that caused many of them to awaken to our need and to send us, as it were, into the world with a knowledge of the spirituality of life as well as the temporal nature of living. And therefore, from our earliest days, as it were, we were under a parental guidance that has been sanctified and made profitable to us. You know, my father and mother have been dead for many years, and I'm still thanking God for them, because I believe God used them when I didn't really feel any need of some of the instructions and overruling ways of life that associated with my upbringing. But I can see how it was the goodness of God. Parents, native place and time, all appointed were by Him. And if our parents are worthy of the responsibility that they exercise, they make us from very early age realize that there is a God and that we are in need of spiritual things as well as temporal things to see us through this world and to make us right for the next. They introduced us to the Bible, that wonderful book of God inspired by the Holy Spirit to teach us everything we need to know, so to speak, in the passage of time as well as in the prospect of eternity. God's Bible excels above all other books that have ever been written, because God knew just what we stood in need of in every aspect of our being. And the Scripture is pregnant with useful, constructive counsel to guide us, order us, and to bring us into an understanding of things not consistent with the perverted imagination of man, but things as they really are. The Bible's the truth. We shall never, whether in time or in eternity, whether in heaven or in hell, we shall be brought, all of us, to appreciate that God's word is truth. It's truth. And what a mercy, my friends, it is to have a reliable testimony and liberty to have it in our own tongue, and as inclination may guide us and God's Spirit lead us, we study the scriptures, knowing that while we may not have a lot of time for it now, it will be of the greatest importance to us to know the truth of God's word when we face the end of life's journey and are called into the presence of God forever. Oh, what a wonderful book is the Bible. And what a wonder of wonders to be able to see that it is the par excellent book among all the millions of books that have been written on the face of the earth. There's nothing, nothing to compare with the scriptures, especially by God's wisdom given to us to handle in our own tongue. God has spoken once. In nature, He's speaking. He's speaking. He's speaking through His word. And my friends, such is the wonder of spiritual learning and influence in our country that we all are without excuse relative to our relationship to God in the Bible. We all have access to it. We all can read it. And as we grow up, it's a wonderful thing to grow up in desire that our hearts may be enlarged and we look to God to guide us where to read and what to read. And thus we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And I'm going to make a profession now with years and years and years of reading the Bible. I still can read what I never remember reading before. You know, it's a wonderful exercise and profitable exercise. God has spoken. What a gift is the Bible. And how sad that people turn away from it and despise it as a book not worth our time to read. May God incline our hearts, search the scriptures, for in them ye have eternal life. And God instructs us in those things that not only limit our profit in our pilgrimage here below, but in readiness of the greatest future that we have in prospect. Eternity, tremendous sound to malefactors doomed to die. Oh, my friends, we need our Bibles and the light of truth. And it's so sad in our nation today that so little regard is being given. When I was at school, I remember the headmaster reading a chapter from the Bible every morning. We went into assembly in the great hall in the school, and the headmaster would come forward and read from the Word of God, and then he would call upon one of the masters to say a few words in prayer, and then we were dismissed to our several several rooms for teaching. God was honoured, and I believe it was a great blessing in our nation when that exercise had its place in the curriculum, but hardly ever now is the youth of our country thus benefited by hearing what the Scripture has to say. Oh, that God would bring us to our senses in a national way to realise that the foundation of England's prosperity existed in their knowledge, the inhabitants' knowledge of the Word of God. And that had a natural influence upon thinking, even among the rulers in high places of our land, as well as among those that were given to us as an especial gift, to read the Bible in high places and seek to discharge their responsibilities in line with the wisdom and virtue of the living Word of the living God. Well, now, I've got to be careful. I can hardly see the clock. God hath spoken once. The text goes on and it says, twice have I heard it. God speaking. God with great power speaks, and it is done. When you think of what we are by nature, dead in trespasses and sins, born into this world in total ignorance of God and the things of God, and we've got a nature that is fallen, and there's an alien attitude to the things and ways of God that exists in our hearts naturally. But what a wonderful thing it is if God calls us from spiritual death to spiritual life. You remember what the Lord said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And my friends, to be born again is to be brought to a knowledge of our absolute ignorance and need of God to teach us, God to instruct us, God to guide us, God to convict us, and God to lead and teach us the way everlasting. Wonderful thing, to be born again, to be made alive to the fact that the publican publicly acknowledges in the Word of God, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And that much educated and highly prosperous scholar, the Apostle Paul, sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, having, as it were, a prime education in his generation, he comes to this, unto me, who am the least of least of all saints, is this grace given? He was born again, and the things that were profitable, that his heart was set upon by nature, he saw were insufficient to cover his need. And he cried to God. Oh, that wonderful experience on the Damascus Road, wasn't it? Wonderful experience that brought him from darkness to light, the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God's dear Son, made him a new man, a new creature, with new desires, new understandings and apprehensions, caused him to see that he was possessed by nature of an absolute unfitness to ever contemplate standing before a holy God, and in the prostration, as it were, that entered into his heart, he falls upon his face and cries for mercy. Have you ever done it? Have you ever done it? Have you ever cried to God for mercy? I say one of the most valuable words in the whole Bible to me is mercy. Mercy. And I'm not living through a long life and the word meaning less and less as I get to grow older, my friends, is meaning more and more. Mercy through blood. I make my plea. Oh God, be merciful to me. For I know that it's by the mercy of God I can be prepared for glory, and it'll be the mercy of God when I come to close my eyes on this world, if I'm shepherded, as it were, into the very portals and provision of paradise forever and forever and forever. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this. Oh, you heard his voice. Has you heard his voice? In Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, commending salvation from sin through the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. God sent his only begotten Son. John Baptist has it when he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world." And when we think of the coming and living and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ as a malefactor outside Jerusalem's gate, with those two thieves, one on the right hand and one on the left, my friends, what humiliation, what lowliness. He condescended to stoop into the very lowest of situations as he took upon himself the sins of his people, that all whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? He's not the son of Joseph. He's the son of God. God. God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. And there was one on the cross with him that was given faith to believe, and he was told by the truthful lips of the Saviour, as he was suffering, bleeding and dying, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And you know that thief is still enjoying the benefit of that forgiveness which Christ communicated to his sin-stricken heart upon that accursed tree of Calvary. And my friends, those that get to heaven never get to the end of the mercy and love and grace of their God and in and through their Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's none other way given among men whereby we must be saved. And I put this question to you this morning. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Has God opened your eyes to see Christ as the chief benefit and blessing that any person can ever receive, even from the God of heaven? To believe in Jesus Christ is life everlasting. To die out of Christ is to reap the due reward of your deeds forever. To be a lost soul under the perfect justice and judgment of God in his displeasure against your sins. But oh, if God blesses you with that measure of understanding and faith teaches you in your soul, being a sinner, you need a Saviour. The greatest need of all your life is the need, spiritual, to know my Jesus crucified. By far excels all things beside. All earthly things I count but loss, and triumph in my Saviour's cross. And I tell you this from experience, as you get older, faith in Jesus Christ becomes more and more precious, while the things of this present life lose their hold in not every respect, but many respects. We're still thankful for home and loved ones and all the temporal blessings. We're still thankful for the Bible. We're still thankful for the fellowship of the Church of Christ. We're still thankful to have dear friends who pray for us and desire in practical ways to minister to us as the need may supply. Practical Christianity within the church is a great asset. God moves his people to love one another, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, to be, as it were, members of a body, that when one member suffers, all of them suffer with it, and the suffering member receives the benefit of the prayerful and practical contributions of those who love them for Jesus' sake. You know, there's no better society to belong to on earth than the Church of the Living God. Oh, they're not only doing what they can with the limitations of humanity, they're praying to God that God will be with you, that God will bless you, that he will make up to you what they fall short in ministering, to help you on and help you through. That's a wonderful introspective understanding of one another's situations and needs. My friends, there's no other society with an improved concern and interest for their fellows than the Church of the Living God. The Spirit of Christ in them makes them compassionate, makes them practically willing not just to look at their own things, but also on the things of others. Is God speaking to you? Is he moving your heart and your very soul? Do you cry, Lord, make me a Christian? Lord, bring me into that knowledge. Speak to me once. Speak to me twice. Speak to me in the things of this world. But don't leave me without thy Spirit as my teacher relative to my welfare, forever in paradise with thee when my short journey through this wilderness is completed. And I warn you, when I was young, the road seemed so long. Oh, I used to look at the old saints in Coventry Chapel when I was a boy, and I used to think, oh, what a long time is life. But my friends, I've now taken my place among the elderly, and I say this, time is short. Time is short. There's an inclination sometimes in young hearts and minds to think, well, I'll be concerned and worried about spiritual things when I get older. I don't want religion interfering with my ambitions and pleasures. My friend, that's an argument that has its origin in hell. It's the devil trying to get you, as it were, to waste your time in spiritual, in natural concerns and pleasures and not think about the things of your soul and eternity. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Call upon the Lord, and he hears even the prayers of the destitute, and he does not despise their prayers. God has spoken once. God has spoken twice. What a privilege it is for me in hope that God has spoken in his house today. Oh, my friends, I tremble to think that I say to you things that have their origin in my own mind. I long for the influence of the Spirit of God causing me to speak that which God will have spoken and enforced in your hearts by the Holy Spirit's power, that you can say, God has spoken to me. God has spoken to me. The means of feeble, the means of poor, the means seem generally despised by the earth. But oh, my friends, how wonderful to know the voice of the Lord, to know him whom to know is life eternal. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £620, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening, as Mr. Robert Field is unable to come through his continuing illness. And God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn number 9. Awake my soul in joyful lay, and sing thy great Redeemer's praise. He justly claims a song from thee, his loving kindness, O how free. Hymn number 9.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the ever-blessed Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.